Desire your prayers one more time this afternoon. The Lord would bless his word. We can all read the word. We can all talk about the word, but at this particular time in the service, we are beggars before the Lord that he will bless and anoint his word to our hearts. And I still feel very needy before the Lord. I'm a needy creature. So as we tarry just for a little while in the Word, I'd like for us to turn to Ecclesiastes, 4th chapter. Want to read a few verses. Ecclesiastes 4:1 says, So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. Behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead, more than the living which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. The writer here seems to me to be entertaining the thought that the oppressions in this world are so great, I might just be better off if I was dead. Dead people don't have to worry about it. They don't have to deal with the issues of life. Now what he said, wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. Better is he than both they which are hath not yet been, who have not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Just for a few moments here, I would like to speak to the realities of life in the world. It can be very depressing. It can be very oppressing. It can be very discouraging. It can be full of sorrow, full of grief, full of trial, full of sadness. It can bring a person to the place of despair. When someone comes to the place of despair in their mind and the way the enemy deals with them, I believe, I don't know what else to do. I don't know where to turn. This thing's not working out. And as I look on ahead in my life, I don't see things getting any better. I don't know what else to do with my life. Last week, you might have heard the news that a young man played professional football in his 30s now. Pardon? Yes, Hernandez. He was on trial and convicted of being of a murderer, murdering someone. Recently, he was on another trial and they didn't convict him of that. But anyway, whether he's guilty, whether he isn't guilty, just a few days ago, he was in his jail cell, blocked his jail door, and he hung himself from the bars from the window with a sheet. He took his own life in his 30s. Despair. Nobody believes me. I haven't been able to control my spirit, haven't been able to control my life. And he just came to the place. What's the use? What's the use of even living? You know, there's a lot of people come to that place. There's a lot of despair in the world that you and I live in today. But I don't really want to talk about despair this afternoon. I wanted to lay a little foundation. Folks, the world is going through a lot of trouble. It's going through a lot of sorrow, a lot of heartache, A lot of sufferings. A lot of unknowns that are out there. And it seems like there's some people that live a life, they feel like that no matter what I do, things never get any better. No matter what I do, it don't seem to change for me. So why try anymore? I might as well just give it up. You know, we have an epidemic right now in our country, and even especially around here, people are overdosing on opioids, dying of drugs because they get caught up into this thing. They look at life. Life doesn't look pleasant to them. But I want us to look at life this afternoon. I want us to look, and I want to talk about the hope that you and I have. Folks, it's different for someone that's found Jesus, isn't it? We're only 1 week removed from what the world celebrated as Resurrection Sunday. Last Sunday was Easter Sunday. It was what they call Resurrection Sunday. When the women went to the grave and the angel met him there and says, I know what you're looking for, but he's not here. He is risen. Folks, do you know what that really means for mankind? You know what that really means for all of us? It means there's hope for you and I because Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus was risen that morning and he walked in a newness of life. And he went back to the Father, just like the plan was laid out. Everything went just like God had planned for you and I. But what it did for you and me, in a world full of despair, in a world without hope, in a world full of sorrow and all kinds of these bitter things that affect men's lives and men's minds, our children today out there in that world without God. But folks, you and I, praise God, we got something this afternoon the world doesn't have. We live in the same world, but it does not affect us. It doesn't have to affect us like it does the world, does it? We have a hope this afternoon. We have a hope in a risen Savior, in Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful to the Lord this afternoon for a comforter. Jesus said when he went away that he would send the Holy Spirit to comfort us. And you and I have a comforter when things aren't going well. We have our problems too. We have our difficulties too. And we may get a little discouraged from time to time. But folks, we got a hope. Keep your heads up. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Remember what was accomplished for you and I there on Calvary. And he went beyond Calvary and came out of that grave in a newness of life to bring you and I something special. Something that we can hold on to. A hope that is steadfast, an anchor to the soul. Something we can look forward to. Jesus gave us something to look forward to. Oh, you know, we're a people that like to look forward to things. Do you know, Mondays aren't near as drab and dreary if we have something special that's going to happen that day. And we got something to look forward to. It kind of lifts our spirits. It kind of encourages us. It gives us a little hope. Well, you know, tomorrow's Monday, but it doesn't have to be a blah Monday. Oh, we're going to do this. We're meeting with family. We're getting together. We're going to have a little picnic. We're going to do whatever it is we're going to do. It gives us something to look forward to, and it lifts up our spirits. And I want to lift up, I want you to, your spirits to be lifted up this afternoon. Jesus come out of that grave. That grave couldn't hold it, folks. And now because of that, we have something to look forward to. We have something to encourage us today. Let's turn over to Romans, the 8th chapter, and read some scripture about this hope. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh, Paul. He knew, he was familiar with sufferings. He was familiar with the world's difficulties and all life's difficulties. But he said, I reckon the sufferings of this present time, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Remember when he said in that other place, these light afflictions, they're just but for a moment. It's just a moment. These things that we, the sufferings that we go through, the things that we, that bear on our hearts that are so heavy. And I think about us with adult children, folks. Our children weigh heavy on our hearts. What they go through and how they deal with life, and when they fail at what they're trying to do and it affects them. When it affects them, it affects us, doesn't it? But these sufferings here, Paul said, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Jesus has given you and I something special. Something special to hold on to this afternoon. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Folks, we got a little taste right here and now in this world. And the Holy Spirit, I believe the Holy Spirit was given to you and I as the first installment, if you will, of the glory that is yet to come. The experiencing of the Holy Ghost upon in us and upon our hearts and upon our lives and the effect that it has, it's an installment of the glory that is awaiting every one of us. In your wildest imagination, in your mind, in your intellect, you still cannot perceive in your mind the glory that is waiting for every one of us. Lord, help us to be faithful. The creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Oh, I wish the whole world had this hope. I wish the whole world realized that God in His love and His wisdom and His goodness to mankind sent help. He sent an aid for us. He sent someone we could believe in, someone we could trust in, someone we can have a hope in, someone that's experienced it before us. And we know it to be true. Scripture tells us Christ is the first fruits of our resurrection. Oh, I thank the Lord for the blessed hope that you and I have. We look ahead with anticipation. Don't you? Don't you look ahead with anticipation to that moment, to that time when we have no more sorrows, when we have no more sadness? What do you think it'll be like, saints, when you don't have to deal and contend with the devil anymore? What do you think it'll be like when you don't have to contend and deal with the flesh anymore? What do you think it'll be like when everything is glory and everything is gladness and everything is wonderful and everything is beautiful? What do you think it's going to be like, saints? Jesus rose from the grave. That you and I can have a hope, a bright anticipation of that moment. Oh, folks, who of us, which one of us here this afternoon doesn't get lifted up when we have something to look forward to? I got something to look forward to, and I hope you do too. For we know, verse 22, that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Oh, this whole creation. Who of us, how many of us here this afternoon can identify with the life that Job had? The sorrow that he went through, the disappointments, the loss of family and loved ones, the pain and the suffering and the questioning in his mind. Lord, you know, why? Why am I going through this? What did I do? Did I let you down? Did I disappoint you? Why am I going? Which of us here this afternoon has never been in a place that we've had to go through like Job did? We've been there. We question things. We've lost things. Maybe not on the same level that Job did, but we've all had our losses in life. We've all had our disappointments in life. But oh, folks, I want you to be encouraged, to be lifted up. There's something greater. When I get over there, the sorrow that I have for my children today, it'll be gone. When eternity is here for me, folks, I won't remember that anymore. Those things I can't do anything about anymore. While I'm here, I can pray for them. I can live the life before them. But when I'm gone and get to my eternal reward of glory, all of that will be behind me. All of that will be behind me. Why? Because He rose again. Because the grave couldn't hold Him. Our Savior did this for us, folks. And I want us to be encouraged with that today. And He said, we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redeeming of our body. When this old corruptible puts on incorruption. We're waiting for that time. Aren't we waiting for that time? Don't we have a blessed hope when we're released from this body to be glorified in a new body? To be in the presence of God forever? To be happy for eternity? To rejoice for eternity? Oh folks, this is something to live for. This is something to work for. This is something to labor for. No wonder the devil fights us so hard. He knows something about the glory that is waiting before us. He's heard this preached before. He's read this before. He knows the glory that's waiting before us. And he fights us hard. As the old saying is, he fights us tooth and nail sometimes. He comes against us to discourage us, to oppose us, to oppress us, to get us down. But you and I got something better than that. We got hope. We got hope. And he went on to say, we're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Oh, folks, one of these days, the trials, the groanings will be over. All of the conflicts of life, all the struggles and the problems that we have. Sometimes I try to do little things at home and I get it done, but I say, Lord, why does this have to be so difficult? Well, it wasn't always this hard. Why does everything have to be a struggle? Trying to get a package open. You know, I don't like things that come wrapped in plastic. Plastic can be so difficult and so hard to try to peel off or to get rid of or open up. It can be really a pain sometimes. But Lord, help me. As he said here, then do we with patience wait for it. Lord, help me to persevere. Lord, I'm going to get through this. By your grace, by your help, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to persevere, Lord, because I'm eagerly awaiting that same resurrection in my body, in my physical body. Oh, we have a resurrection if we're saved today. We've been resurrected in Jesus Christ. But I'm talking about the final resurrection, whenever this old body goes back to the dust from which it came and we rise up a new body. Jesus had a new body. He had a new body, folks. Oh, this is wonderful to me. He said likewise, verse 26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Oh, folks, don't get discouraged. He knows what you need. He knows what you're going through. He knows your hurts. He knows your pain. We don't have to take a sheet and tie it around our necks and hang ourselves, folks. We got a hope this afternoon. We got something beyond this old grave waiting for you and I that's glorious. And I want us to be able to see that through the eyes of faith by hope this afternoon. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For the Lord knows what our infirmities are. He knows what you're facing. He knows what's hurting your heart. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. Lord, I don't even know how to tell you my sorrow. My grief hurts me so deeply, I don't even know how to express myself. But he said the Spirit interprets our innermost feelings. You believe that? The Spirit interprets our innermost feelings with groanings. There's no words here that cannot even be uttered. He interprets our innermost feelings that cannot even be put into words. Do you know there's a language of tears? There's a language of tears. I've gone before the Lord before. The pain in my heart hurting and so deep that I didn't have the words to say. Just cry. Cry. Lord, this is too much. It's greater than I can bear. And it says the Spirit maketh intercession for me. Because I cannot put it into words, but He sees my tears and He knows my heart and He understands the pain because He went through it Himself. Folks, it gives me a hope. I don't have to be in despair like the world. I don't have to end my life. But I'm looking for a new life someday. And when the Lord's awaiting and He's ready, He's going to take me on to glory. He that searcheth the hearts, verse 27, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. For the saints! Folks, we're those new creatures that we heard about in Sunday school this morning. We're a tried and a proven people. We're a peculiar people. But He maketh intercession for you and I. No matter what it is. Don't understand it. But the Spirit makes intercession for us. In language and groanings that can't even be uttered. Don't even have the words for it. Oh, my hope is in this great Heavenly Father. In this great man that came into the world and gave His life. And shed His blood for me, that I could be saved and be called a saint. With groanings that cannot be uttered for the saints, and He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now what's God's will, folks? What do you think His will is for you? I know one thing. Peter said it ain't His will that any should perish. So what's His will? Folks, He wants to bless you. He wants to lift you up. He wants to encourage you. He wants to hold you in the hollow of His hand until that time that He says, it is enough. You can come on up, be with me now. Lay that old body down. Lay that old life down. Lay all those struggles down. Put them all behind you. You come and be with me now. That's what I'm living for. That's what I'm living for. And that hope, I can't see it with my natural eyes, no, but I can sure see it with my spiritual eyes. I can sure see it with my hope. Have we any hope within us of a life beyond the grave, folks? Yes, we do. It is both steadfast and sure, the song says. We have a hope. A lot of people don't have a hope today. Their life is just a mess. All the choices they've made, all the decisions they've made, and they've made a failure out of their lives and they don't have any hope. But all they have to do is turn to the one that gives hope. Turn to the Savior. Give your life, your heart and your life to Him. And He'll give you what you need to encourage you. He'll give you the hope. He'll give you something to live for. What's the number of that song?
198.
Thank you. Knew it was close. In the sweet and vernal lands, do we know if this our tabernacle were to be dissolved? We've a house. Man didn't have anything to do with this house, folks. We've a house not made with hands. It's made by God Himself. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. Folks, isn't that hope? Don't we read that scripture many, many times? It's probably read across the land from cemetery to cemetery. It brings hope, doesn't it? When Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. We don't have to be in despair, saints. He maketh intercession for us, for the saints, it says, according to the will of God. Oh, thank the Lord for His intercession for us. Blessed hope we have within us is an anchor to the soul. It is both steadfast and sure. It is founded on the promises of Father's written word, and 'twill ever, evermore endure. Founded on the promises of Father's written word. Let's look over here to Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and see where it was founded. Hebrews 6 and verse 17 says, wherein God, listen now, this is Paul writing, I believe Hebrews is attributed to Paul, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, who's that? Who's the heirs of promise? Folks, we're the heirs. We're the heirs. Jesus went through all that for the glory that was set before Him. Saints, do you see the glory that is set before us? It didn't look like glory when He went to the cross. It doesn't look like glory to you and I when we're going through the hard and difficult places. But it's going to be glory for every one of us. Show the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel. He confirmed it by an oath. He made a promise. You know what the immutability is? It means the unchangeableness of His word. The unchangeableness of His counsel. Something that you and I can stand on, and we know it'll be there to fortify and hold us up in whatever we have to deal with in life. God made an oath. God made an oath. That by two immutable or unchangeable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope. There it is. Saints, lay hold on the hope that is set before you, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Folks, this hope, this anchor that He's talking about, which is an anchor to the soul, this anchor is and this refuge is a safe retreat. It's a safe place for you and I to dwell while here on earth. It's a well-placed, unbending anchor, and it's not in the sea, but it's in the highest heaven and the highest promise of God's word. That's my hope. My hope is that by His two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. You think God's lying to us today? You think He's lied? I don't believe He's lied, folks. I've experienced too much in my own heart and in my own life to know this is real. My God is real, and I know that He's real because He's been living and working in me. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, I think about that man that we read over there in Ecclesiastes. Just everything looks so desolate. It's just better. The dead's better off than I am. But I want to tell you something, saints. We have the Holy Spirit. It's an earnest. It's the earnest that He's given us. The earnest of the Holy Spirit to just kind of remind us, or the little carrot dangling out there, if you will, letting us know there's something better than this farther on. There's something better than this waiting for you farther on. He said, we who have fled for refuge. Oh, folks, people, I've been accused saying you just like to use God for a crutch. Yes, I do. He's my refuge. He's my peace. He's my safety. He's my present help in every time of trouble. He's my go-to God. I go to Him when I have my needs, when I have my burdens, I bring them. I cast them, brother. Just like you said, I cast them all on Him. Hope has brought us through the dangers and temptations of the past, and we fear not those to come. Be encouraged, saints. By her blessings we'll go forward while our mortal life shall last. Then we'll joyously go home. Oh, I thank the Lord for that. Since we've walked the straight and narrow way, our path has ever shone brighter, brighter, day by day. Hope within our hearts assures us it is better farther on. It is brighter all the way. You think it's going to be better than this? I certainly hope so. I certainly know so, because my hope is in Christ. It's going to be better than this. Life will end in joyful singing. I have fought a faithful fight. Then we'll lay our armor down to possess, and our soul will break the cable here and take its happy flight to possess a starry crown. We have a hope within us, within our souls, brighter than the perfect day. God has given us His Spirit, and we want the world to hear it. All our doubts are passed away. Oh, thank the Lord for the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. He said in the 20th verse, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus made it possible for you and I behind the veil to go into the very presence of God even while we're here on this earth, casting our cares and our burdens upon the Lord. Oh, I thank the Lord for the hope that we have in Christ tonight. I want to look at another scripture in the 15th chapter of Corinthians. Corinthians 15 and verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Who was it that didn't believe in the resurrection back in Jesus' day? Do you know who it was? They didn't believe in the resurrection. No, Sadducees. Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. They even asked Him a question. We can turn to that, but we won't. To try to trip Him up. You know, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? Tried to trip Him up. Said, you don't know. You don't understand what you're talking about. But anyway, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Now try to follow this. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is also vain. If there's no resurrected Christ, folks, He would still be in the grave. Our preaching would be useless and we would all still be in our sins. Are you living in sin today? Are we endeavoring, striving by the grace of God to live free from sin? No, I believe His blood cleansed. I know what He did to change and turn my life around. And it had to be something supernatural. I know that He changed me. And I know it was done right here. And I thank the Lord for it. That's what He's saying here. He said, if Christ is not risen, our preaching's in vain, your faith is in vain. And we'll still be in our sins, wouldn't we? But He said, yea, we are found false, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Paul said we would be false witnesses if we would say this and it wasn't true. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Are you thankful for the resurrection? I'm so thankful for the resurrection. The angel said, he's not here. One of these days they'll be saying about Larry, he's not here anymore. But he's enjoying something better than we are. One of these days it's coming, if I'll be faithful. He's not here, he said, the angel said, but he is risen. And then he said, verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. In other words, there's no hope if Christ wasn't raised from the dead. But our hope, he said, if in this life only, we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. Folks, the hope that I have in Christ today takes me beyond this present life, beyond what I'm living now. If in this life only we have hope, folks, Christ came to bring us a hope greater than that. My hope that I have in Christ takes me beyond this present world. Takes me on to beyond this present life. Allows me to have something to look forward to. You talk about icing on the cake. You talk about the dessert, folks. You talk about something sweet, something glorious, something precious. It's waiting for us over there. May the Lord help us to be faithful to that. We'll look at just a few more verses here. Down, I want to drop down to the 50th verse. This same book, chapter. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. Oh, Paul said it's a mystery. None of us have ever experienced it yet. We've heard about it. But it's still a little mysterious to us. But I believe it, don't you? I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, when the Lord comes back, there'll be some still here on earth. They won't be in their grave, but we're all going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. How long does it take you to blink your eye, folks? I've heard those that studied it said it takes about 11 one-hundredths of a second to blink your eye. In a moment. You know, some people wonder, oh, well, the judgment day is going to take forever. No, it's not. God knows how to do things. God knows how to do things expediently. I'll show you a mystery. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, how? Incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass that the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. It sure looked like defeat for Christ, didn't it? When he was on the cross. They got him. The devil got him. He was defeated. No. That's where he won the victory, folks. His death was swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord, Jesus Christ. How's your hope today? How's your hope? Are you just focusing on the here and now? What's happening right now in your life? Yeah, we have a tendency to do that. Because that's, you know, we can only handle so much. We can only deal with so much. That's why it's so wonderful to cast our cares on the Lord. Because He can deal with it all. But I want you, when you leave here today, I want you to be thinking beyond those cares. beyond what you're experiencing now, there's a hope waiting for you. There's something better for each and every one of us farther on. Verse 57 tells us that there is a final victory awaiting for us all. A final victory. It's a time when hope becomes a reality. We're hoping now, but that time will come when it'll become a reality. I haven't forgot those chilling words. They were chilling to me when my sister was going out of here. She said, "Larry, I'll be waiting on you. I'll be waiting on you." I said, "Sis, you wait on me. I'm coming. By the help of the Lord, I'm coming. And I'm going to be there with you. We're going to experience heaven together. We're going to experience glory together, saints. It's of utmost importance that we hold on until the victory is won. This death is swallowed up in victory." And then he finished saying, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," this is our challenge this afternoon, "be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain." It's not in vain. Why isn't it in vain? Because what is that old saying that we heard, that I've heard all my life? Only one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. It's not in vain. Live your life for Christ. Enjoy the blessings that He has died and resurrected to give for you and I. Have a hope deep within your breast. Have a hope enlarged in your heart this afternoon in a resurrected Savior. He rose from the dead. Because He did, we will too. Because He did, we will too. And we'll have an immortal body. A body that'll never corrupt again. A new body. The song says, we'll have a new body. We'll have a new life. Saints, it's waiting. It's right around the corner. It's right around the corner for every one of us. Lord, help us all to be faithful. Be encouraged. God will help you through your battles. He said He would. He'll help you through your trials. Don't get discouraged. Keep your hope ever in view. Amen.